So Parshas Vayetzeh begins with Yaakov leaving his parents' home. Vayetzeh Yaakov mi Be'er Shava. Yaakov went out from Be'er Shava, Vayelech Harana, and he went to Haran. And the pasuk says, Vayitzka b'makom. And he, they translate, he encountered the place, Vayolen Sham Tiva Hashemesh, and he rested there because the sun had come, and he goes to sleep there. So, what does Vayitzka b'makom mean? So, Rashi brings down the Rabbo Seino Pirshu, where I guess simply the Pashup Shat, the simple understanding is that he encountered the place. Rashi brings down the Rabbo Seino Pirshu Lashon Tfila. Chazal tell us that Vayivka is a language of davening. Kimo Val Tifkavi. Paskin Yirmiya says, don't daven to me. But that's what it means. The Lamanu, says Rashi, we learn from here, Shetikin Tfilas Arvit. That he established the tefillah of Arvis, of Myris. That Yaakov in this pasuk, by Yifka Bamakom, when he arrived at this place, Har Hamoriah, he establishes the mitzvah of, the specific mitzvah of Myris, of davening Myris. Now, the Gemara actually brings down two sources, possibly, for where tefillah my Arvis comes from, really all the tefillah. The Gemara that Rashi is referring to is the Gemara on Brachos. The Gemara says, Itmar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Amar, Tfilos Avos Tiknum. The Tfilos were established by the forefathers, by the Avos. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, Tfilos Kneged Tamidim Tiknum. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that the Tfilos correspond to the Karban Tamid, the daily offering. So, and then the Gemara brings a Braisa like each one. And it's the Braisa that goes with the opinion that the Avos established the Tfilos. It says Avram Tikin Tfilos Shachris. Avram established Shachris. And it brings a Pasuk to prove that. And it says Yitzchak Tikin Tfilos Mincha. Yitzchak established Mincha. And it brings a Pasuk. And then it brings our Pasuk. It says Yaakov Tikin Tfilos Arvis. And it brings our pasuk Vayifka b'makom, and it proves that Vayifka is a language that means tefillah. So that's the opinion that says that the forefathers established the three tefillahs. That's where we have three tefillahs from. The other opinion also has a brisa that implies like him. The brisa says, "Tanya kavaseder rishub and levi, yipnei ma amru tefillas hashachar ad chasos. Why are you allowed to daven shachris until midday?" Right, we passing actually that you daven only until the fourth hour. You could daven past that, but you've really missed your time at that point. But this braisa holds that you could until midday, because shari tamid shal shachar krav holy chad chatzos, because the morning offering, the daily tamid morning offering, could be brought until midday. And why can you daven mincha until evening? Because the top afternoon daily offering was brought until evening. And Rabbi Yehuda says until plag, until the halfway point between, well, he has a different time. And then we have Myrit. Mipnei ma amru tziva sa'erev ein lakeva. Why did they say that Myrit has no, you have all night to daven it, and the time is at night? And that comes from, according to this opinion, Shari, Evarim upidarim shalomis akun va'erev kreidin ho'chim v'kol alayla. There wasn't a nighttime offering, daily, you know, nightly offering in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, in the temple. Rather, it was a continuation of the afternoon offering. That if there were parts of the afternoon offering that did not get consumed by the altar, by the Mizbeach, then you could still bring them, leave them on, even put them back on the Mizbeach. They like fell off, I think, you could put them back on. And that's where Myrit comes from.
Isn't that in Sav, where Hashem says that this is a corruption of the Olam of Kohanim,
the whole night. Very good, yeah. That's how, right, that's really good. Good. So, Okay. Now, so we have this machlokas of these two opinions of where the psigos come from. One is that they the avos establish them, and the other is that they correspond to the psigos. Now, there are those who point out, I don't remember if the Gemara says this, or if it's the Mefarshim, but that the Gemara, actually, the Braisa goes on, it says, and where does Musaf come from? Why do you have this time for Musaf? Because, and it talks about the carbon Musaf. So the Mefarshim say, or at Gemara, I can't remember, but it's said, you know, that it seems that the opinion that says that the forefathers established the tefillos will agree that they have something to do with the carbonos, with the sacrifices, as well also, the Tzlach points this out, others probably, that the times are based on the carbonos still. So even if you say that the forefathers established the tefillos, but it would seem that nowadays the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah or the men of the Great Assembly, when they composed the tefillos, they would have the actual wording, or when they set the laws for them, they would have modeled it still after the carbonos, even though they existed from the days of the avos, and the avos were the ones who established them. But then, in setting the times that we have for them, that would have, you know, after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, perhaps, and we no longer had the carbonos, so then we made the tefillos correspond in terms of the times to the carbonos. And that's probably also when we introduced the tefillos musaf, which there's no forefather to establish musaf. I think there are those who want to say that Yosef established musaf. I saw some reference to that, but the Gemara doesn't say that. And, so it would seem that even the opinion that says the forefathers established the tefillos would agree that they, you know, that they have something to do with the carbonos, and that's why we have a tefillos musaf on Shabbos and Yom Tov, which is when the carbon musaf was brought. Now, the Gemara in Chulin discusses the verse at the beginning of this week's parasha, and the Gemara says as follows. The Rabbi Akiva asked Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. He says, it says, Vayizrach al Hashemesh. This is by Yaakov later when he has a fight with Esav's angel. The pasuk says, Vayizrach al Hashemesh, and the sun shined for him. It shined for him. So, Gemara says, did it only shine for him? It shined for everyone. So, Amar Yitzchak, Shemesh haba bavuro zarcha bavuro. The sun that set early on his behalf now rose early on his behalf. That he was fighting the angel all night, and the sun rose, and he was cured. It rose early for him, and it was. What does it mean that it set, rose for him? It's because it set early for him. When did it set early for him? So right here at the beginning of the parsha, because it says, "Vayetu Yaakov mi'Be'er Sheva, vayelech Harana," and he went out from Be'er Sheva, and he went to Haran. Uksiv, and it says, "Vayifka b'Mokom," and he davened at that place. So, what happened? And the place refers to Hara Maria, where the Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount. So, if he was going to Haran, how did he end up at the Hara Maria? So, the Gemara says, when he reached Haran, Kimato v'Haran Amar, he said, Efshar avarti al makom shisbalu avosai, could it be that I passed the place where my father davened? Vanilo is balancing, I didn't daven there. How could I have done that? So he decided to go back. Kadiyoy dicing in the Hadr, when he decided to go back, Kastale Ara, he warped, the land jumped for him, and he found himself back at Hara Maria. Niyad, immediately, Vayiska Bamakom, he davened at that place. Kadsali, when he finished davening, he wanted to go back to Haran. You know, kind of went all the way there, and now he ended up back here. He wants to go back to Haran. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Tzadik zeh bal beis maloni v'yisra b'lohina. This tzadik, he's come to my hotel, he's come to my dwelling place, to Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount, and he's not going to stay. Miyad ba Hashemesh. So Hashem made the sun set early. Yaakov was stuck there, he couldn't continue to travel, and Yaakov stayed the night. That's what the Gemara said. So ask Tosfos, The implication of that Gemara is that he davened when?
It's just a lav, it's true, it's an Isra D'oraisa, but
before night, right? While it was still light outside, and only after that Hashem made the sunset. When do we daven Ma'ariv normally? At night, right? So it says Tosfos that it seems to be a proof for what I want to say that that we passing like Rabbi Yehuda that that the time the cutoff time is Plag HaMincha, which is earlier than sunset, and you daven Mincha up till Plag, and after Plag you could daven Ma'ariv when it's still light outside. So that's because we don't passing like either of Yeshua or the Rabbanim. You could go either with Plag as the cutoff, or you could go with sunset as the cutoff. But you can't mix and match. Now, interestingly, the meaning on a given day, you can't. You always have to have one of those in between, either Plag or sunset. Now, interestingly, the custom, even in the places where they daven Ma'ariv, you know, after sunset, but often on Erev Shabbos, on Friday night, many places daven earlier. So where does that come from? So the Magen Avraham says that comes because why do we daven Ma'ariv at night? According to the other opinion, because you could still bring the karbanos at the leftover karbanos, that which fell off the mizbeach, you could still put back on at night. The afternoon offering, you could still bring it at night. He says that's true during the week, but on Shabbos you're not allowed to do that. Shabbos, even though we do bring a karban tamid on Shabbos, we bring the daily offering on Shabbos, but we don't bring the leftover parts from the Friday afternoon offering on Shabbos. That you can't do. So if there are parts, yeah, on Friday afternoon or you know Friday night that fall off the mizbeach, then you can't put them back on. So because it's Shabbos, and you're not allowed to burn them, to cook them on Shabbos.
But you bring the other offerings.
So the offerings that are meant for that day, you're allowed to bring. Those override Shabbos.
You can burn them, really?
If it's the daily offering of Shabbos, you could do, and there's a carbon musaf on Shabbos also.
Oh, okay.
But this offering is really the Friday offering. It's just the parts that came off that you're not allowed to bring on Shabbos. So it turns out that on Friday night, there is no Ma'ariv offering. You don't bring anything Friday night, right? Because there's nothing. You don't bring the Friday afternoon leftover. So the Magen Avraham says that's why the custom is to daven Ma'ariv early on Friday, before nighttime, because there is no. Now there might not be. Maybe according to that, there shouldn't be Ma'ariv at all. But you could say that. I don't remember how he says it, but perhaps the way he says it, or what you could say is that. So anything that you need to put back on, you have to put back on before nighttime, and therefore you daven Ma'ariv on Friday afternoon before nighttime because of that. Now, the Chassam Sofer kind of takes this a step further and says that Yaakov as well, when he davened early over here, it was because it was Friday night when you davened early. And then he has a whole discussion about how he could travel the next day on Shabbos outside the Tchum. You know, you're not allowed to travel so far on Shabbos, and he says that that's what it means, that it says, Vayisa Raglav, Vayisa Yaakov Raglav, and he lifted up his feet. He says that means that he also jumped back to, he didn't have to travel, and he just, and that I guess they're allowed to do on Shabbos, apparently. Oh, because he says he was above 10. He has a whole reason why, but so that's over there. Okay, now, getting back to Tosfos' question, though, of how could we learn Ma'ariv at nighttime from, if Yaakov davened before nighttime, as it seems, right, that the sun set for him. So how could we learn out Ma'ariv at night? And the Tosfos said, very good, we don't. We actually are better to daven Ma'ariv before nighttime. But that's not, you know, not everyone holds that way. The Rabbanan certainly don't hold that way. So is there a way to reconcile this story, this Gemara, where it says that Yaakov davened Ma'ariv, established Ma'ariv before nightfall? Can we reconcile that with the generally accepted practice in Halacha, the opinion of the Rabbanan that we daven Ma'ariv at nighttime? So the Pnei Yoshua, actually I'm not sure if it's the Pnei, so the Adnei Paz, who, I'm not sure if it's the Pnei Yehoshua. The reason I didn't have a chance to look it up, the reason why I said the Pnei Yehoshua is because in a different piece, the Pnei Yehoshua references something that he says which sounds very similar to what this Sefer Adnei Paz is. So I suspect that it's actually him, but I'm not sure. I didn't have a chance to look that up. So he says as follows. So he says, how does the Gemara know in the first place that Yaakov was establishing Myra here? Maybe he was just davening Mincha. His father Yitzchak established Mincha. Maybe when it says, and he davened, by Yitzchak b'makom, and Yaakov davened, maybe he was just davening Mincha. He says, we understand Yitzchak, we can't say that when he davened, he was davening Shacharis, like his father Avram, because by Yitzchak it says that it was almost evening. So it was a late afternoon, he wasn't davening Shacharis. So Yitzchak, we know, davened Mincha. But Yaakov, who says he's davening Myers? Maybe he's also davening Mincha. That's question number one. Secondly, he says, take a look at Rashi on Chumash. How does Rashi describe what happened here? So Rashi says,
So Rashi says
that
when there's some side constructive thing, which will be exactly what that would mean in Rashi and Tosos. We discussed a lot last week, but we'll see a recap in Rashi and Tosos. We'll see that there. But basically, so says the Gemara that we have an opinion.
Rashi says that Yaakov wasn't planning on davening there.
Let
me find it inside because I'm reading from his quote here.
Because if you mess up, that's a shogeg of a deoraisa, right? But by Shabbos, pulling out the thorn, we're not as concerned because even if you mess up, that's not a shogeg of a deoraisa.
Okay, let's just read it. He says that
even by Kobel and Mavir.
Why didn't Yaakov, says Rashi on Chumash, when Yaakov passed the Beis HaMikdash, why didn't he stay there? He wasn't planning on davening in the place where his father's davened. Well, it seems he doesn't agree with the Gemara for a second. Let's see. Umina Shemayim Yaakvuhu. And it was Shemayim that held him up. He wasn't planning on davening, and Shemayim and the heavens held him up. He went all the way to Charan, as the Gemara said. And when he got to Charan, he said, wait a second, is it possible that I passed on the place that my father's davened and I didn't daven? So he decided to go back, and he all of a sudden ended up there. So, I don't know, Rashi, I'm not sure where Rashi, why does Rashi say, Rashi sort of quotes both, really. First Rashi says, he wasn't planning on davening, and then he said, wait, how can I have not davened? So what's this, like, first he wasn't planning on davening, and then he said, wait, how can I not have davened? What does it mean he wasn't planning on davening? That's the second question. What does Rashi and Chumash mean when he says that Yaakov wasn't planning on davening, and then he, like, changed his mind and decided to go back to, how could I pass from my father's daven and not daven there? Last question is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make such a miracle for him? Meaning, he made the land jump for him. He made Yaakov, like, get back really early to Har HaMoriah, because he could have let Yaakov walk a little bit. He didn't. He made him get back there. Turned out it was pretty early. Yaakov davened. There was still plenty of time left to start going, to start traveling. And Hashem had to make the sun set early. So why did Hashem do it that way? Why did he have to make such a, like, an extra miracle, right? Normally, you know, Hashem, as we understand it, limits the miracle if where possible. So it would have been much simpler, much less miraculous, and still miraculous, but if Hashem wanted Yaakov to daven at Har HaMoriah, and then he could have just let him start walking back to Har HaBayis, and then, you know, sort of at the last minute, jumped him over there. He would have davened in the nick of time, davened mincha or whatever he was davening before sunset. And then Hashem would have had to set the sun early in order to keep him there. If he wanted to keep him there, why'd he bring him there so early and then have to set the sun early in order to keep him there? Just have him get there a little bit later and then he wouldn't have to set the sun early.
How do we know he davened mincha and not Maariv because the sun doesn't say it?
Well, that's the question, right? The Gemara says he davened Maariv. We're wondering, what do you mean he davened Maariv? The sun didn't set yet, the Gemara says. So it seems it was mincha. So these are some things we have to work out. So the Adnei Paz says as follows. He says, certainly Yaakov was not planning on establishing a third tefillah. He had no intention of doing that when he set out that day. He wasn't planning on establishing Maariv. He's going to leave it, you know, as it was before. There's Shachris, there's Avram established, there's Mincha that Yitzchak established. Yaakov at this point in his life was not going to establish a new tefillah called Maariv. Now what happened? So... he decided he wanted to daven one of the tefillos that his father had davened. I guess mincha, probably, because that would have made sense. So I guess he passed the place. He realized, oh, I didn't daven mincha where my forefather davened, and he wanted to daven mincha. So... it was also Haram Maariv. Yeah, the Sade is referred by Yitzchak, Yitzchak was Suach by Sade, it was the same place. That's true, but this is where they established it. So he says that basically, what happened was Yaakov went to daven. He decided he wanted to go back to daven mincha. And when he saw this strange event take place, where first he jumped there in time to, you know, to daven mincha, and then the sun set early. So he said, "Why is Hashem doing this? Why? What's the purpose of this? Why did Hashem make these extra miracles?" So it was at that point that he said, If Hashem just wanted me to daven where my forefathers davened, you know, he wanted me to daven mincha where my forefathers davened, so all he needed to do was bring me there. I mean, this is really after the fact. Hashem brought him there. He davened mincha. He davened mincha first. And then the sun set early. So now it's nighttime, and he's saying, you know, what am I doing here? Why is Hashem doing this? Why did Hashem set the sun early? He says it must be that Hashem wants me to daven Maariv also. Hashem's keeping me here for nighttime in order that I establish Maariv. Would say. Okay, good question. Let's see if he resolves that. So he says that that's what Rashi meant when Rashi said he wasn't planning on davening. Rashi didn't mean he wasn't planning on davening at all. Rashi meant he wasn't planning on establishing a tefillah. Yaakov wasn't planning on establishing a tefillah, but in Hashemayim he was held up there in order that he would establish that tefillah. That's how Rashi says it. Rashi's words in Chumash are, he didn't intend to daven in the place that his forefathers had daven, meaning, according to the Adnei Paz, he didn't intend to establish a new tefillah there. But, the heavens held him up in order that he would establish a new tefillah. Because he was saying, why did these events happen in this fashion? It must be that, I'll tell you why. And this will answer your question also. If Hashem just wanted him to stay the night, we should have done it the other way. Hashem should have made him take a while to walk there. then jumped in there later. So he got there at the last minute, right before dark. He could have davened mincha, and then you'll be stuck there for the night. The fact that Hashem made Nes B'toch Nes, made two miracles. First, make him get there early, have time to daven mincha, and then have the sun set early. So that was, you know, he understood that there's a message being sent here. It's not just that Hashem wants me to stay. If he wanted me to stay, he would have done it the other way. Hashem is sending me a message. He wants me to establish another tefillah, the tefillah of Myris. And he says, now we don't have, this will also answer Tosfos question. When the Gemara in Chulin says that Yaakov davened and he was about to leave, and then the sun set early, so it's not referring to Myra, says the Anepan. It's actually referring to Mincha. He davened Mincha. He wanted to leave. Hashem made the sun set early. Yaakov said, hey, if Hashem's making the sun set early, it must be that he wants me to daven Myra also, to establish Myra. From now on, all of his descendants will daven Myra. He knew the future. He knew the promise to Avram that they're going to have many descendants. He didn't think that Esav was going to.
Well, he wrote that for Ram.
Oh, you have to do your establish. You have to, you know, but well, he wasn't. That wasn't. You have to. You can't just stand there for him to kill you. But he was. You know, he knew the promise of Hashem, and he was expecting to. And that's why he went to marry. You know, he went to build the Shvatim, to marry Rachel and Leah, to build Klal Yisrael. So he had big plans. So there's another important discussion that we have to have when we talk about Myriv. And that is, what is the nature of Myriv? Is it a obligation to daven Myriv, or is it optional? The Gemara has a machlokas. It's a brisa, really. The Gemara in Brachos over there, the Gemara says that Tzivas Arvis, the Tzivah Mayrib, Rabbi Gamliel says it's an obligation, and Rabbi Yeshua says it's a reshut. It is optional. Now, before we get ahead of ourselves, you know, and say, oh, it's optional. So, first of all, we do paskin that way. We paskin that Mayrib is a reshut. You're asking like Rabbi Yeshua that it's optional. But that even still, first of all, even when it's optional, Tosfos says that what optional means is that a passing mitzvah overrides it. But certainly otherwise, one is obligated to daven Myriv. But what it means by it's reshus, it means that certain other mitzvahs will override it. That's what Tosfos says. So that, you know, before we get ahead of ourselves and skip out on Myriv tonight because it's optional, Tosfos says it's only if you have another mitzvah to do. Like even that, even after that, there's another important point, which is that we have accepted it throughout the generations as an obligation, and now that it's been accepted as an obligation, it is an obligation. But it's important to know that in its root, even though it's an obligation, but in its root, there is an opinion that it is a reshus. It's optional, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, which we actually passing, and there's the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel that it is a chova, it's an obligation. Now, what I want to spend the rest of the shir on is discussing why perhaps it would be a reshus, or why it would be optional, and why it would be an obligation. So the riff, not the riff in the back of the Gemara, but the riff, who has a Ein Yaakov, talks about a God to Gemara. So he wants to suggest that this is dependent on the machlokes, the dispute of where do the tefillos come from. Meaning as follows. According to the opinion that the Tfilos were established by the Avos, and that Yaakov established Ma'ariv. So in that case, Ma'ariv is an obligation, just like the other opinion, just like all the other davening, Shacharis and Mincha. Those are also, those are, everybody agrees they're obligations. So just like, why would Yaakov have done any differently than his fathers? They established them as obligations. And so too, Yaakov established Ma'ariv as an obligation. As opposed to if you understand that the Tfilos corresponds to the Karbanos, so then the Shacharis and Mincha correspond to actual Karbanos, which were obligations to bring. Ma'ariv corresponds to the leftovers that fell off the Mizbeach of the afternoon offering, which you could put back on at night. Well, those you didn't, there was no obligation to put those back on. That was optional. And therefore, Ma'ariv is a reshus. Ma'ariv is also optional. That's what the Rif says.
Why?
So, many Mefarshim want to suggest that really we can understand, even if you say that Yaakov established Ma'ariv, it could be that even according to that opinion, it's also a reshus. That even that opinion could hold that Ma'ariv is a reshus. Why? Why would we say that if Yaakov established Ma'ariv, why would he have established it as a reshus, as an optional tefillah? So there's many different approaches to this. I'm going to share a couple with you. So the Iyun Yaakov gives a few on his own, actually. He says that that it could be that Yaakov was just davening now because of all the difficulties that he was experiencing. And that he didn't really intend it to be an obligation. He was in a situation where he really needed to daven, and while he may have established this as like a time for davening, but I guess what he's saying is that's more so if there's a need, if there's a great need like Yaakov had, but for everyone else, it would be optional. That's one possibility. He says it could also be that Yaakov, we know, spent the most time learning Torah of all the others. He spent 14 years in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Aver, learning straight, right? And we know, the Gemara tells us that someone who's parasu menasa, the person who really literally learns all the time, they are exempt from davening. And so it could be that when Yaakov established davening, it was more as an optional. He was really exempt. He in his state of hasmada, being such a masmid, even when he decided to daven, but it couldn't have been as an obligation because he wasn't obligated to daven because he was so involved in Torah learning. So when he davened, it couldn't have been as an obligatory tefillah. It had to have been as an optional tefillah. And that's why Ma'ariv, of all the tefillahs, would be an optional tefillah. He says one more reason, which I'm not going to elaborate on, but the Gemara says that Yaakov lo meis, that Yaakov didn't die, whatever exactly that means. So he says, if so, he says that I think what he means is that because the Mefarshim say that when we daven, the lips of the Avos are moving in the kever, are moving in the grave. I don't know exactly what this means, but he says that would only apply to Avraham and Yitzchak, who actually died. But the Gemara says that Yaakov will mace, exactly what that means, that Yaakov didn't die, and so therefore Yaakov tefillah would be an optional tefillah, because you don't have this concept of Dovavos Bekever, of his lips moving in the grave, because Yaakov didn't die. Now, we know that Yaakov was buried. And, you know, so what it means that Yaakov Lomais is a separate question, but even if we say Yaakov Lomais, he was also certainly buried, so... Okay, you know, this is just to throw in. It's not really an answer that I can elaborate on much. The Chida suggests that this machlokas, this dispute whether Ma'ariv is optional or it is an obligation, could be dependent on two answers in a Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz asks the following question. He says that here the Gemara says that Yitzchak established Mincha.
So that we see
on the other hand, there's a Gemara in Yuma that seems to imply that Avram already davened Mincha. It says, at least according to his version of the Gemara, "Tlu say de Mincha de Avram de Kimeshachri Kosel." That I think it may only say in our version, "Tlu say de Avram," but the Avram davened when the walls got dark, meaning after midday, when the shade shifted over and the side of the wall that the sun had previously been shining on was now on the other side, and this side was shady, that's when Avram would daven. So, you know, a little bit after midday, which is Mincha, that's no longer Shachar. So it seems that Avram davened Mincha. So how could we say that Yitzchak established Mincha if Avram already davened Mincha? That's Rabbeinu Peretz's question. So Rabbeinu Peretz gives two answers. One answer is that it's true, Yitzchak established it, and afterwards Avram davened it. When it said that Avram davened Mincha, it means that he davened it after Yitzchak already established it. That's his first answer. I don't think so. I think it's just a reference in Chazal, in the Gemara. So the answer number one is it's true, Avram davened Mincha, but that was after Yitzchak established it. The second answer is that, Avram davened Mincha, even before Yitzchak established it, but he didn't establish Mincha. He established Shachar, that he and all his descendants should daven Shachar. He also daven Mincha, but he didn't establish Mincha. And Yitzchak, so when we say Yitzchak established Mincha, we mean Yitzchak said it, that now him and all his descendants should daven it. This is actually also answers, if you go with the second answer, it answers a different question, which is I think is posed by Tosfos elsewhere, or others pose this question, which is, if Avram kept the whole Torah, then how did he not daven Mincha or Meiriv? You know, he kept even the rabbinic halachos, we say, even the Drabanan. So this answer would answer that as well, that no, he did daven Mincha and Meiriv. He just didn't establish them. He only established Shachris, that everyone should, all his descendants daven Shachris, and Yitzchak came later and established that all of his descendants should daven Mincha as well. So if we take these two answers, he says we can explain the dispute of whether Meiriv is optional or it's an obligation. The one who says that it's optional holds like the answer that sorry, it wasn't a Tosfos for Rabbeinu Peretz, it was a Tosfos Yeshanim. Right, he says that if you, the one who says that Meiriv is optional, holds that Avraham only davened after Yitzchak established Mincha. That Avraham, it's true, did not daven Mincha, and when it says that he davened Mincha, that was after Yitzchak established it. So, he says, based on that, it will come out that Avram never davened Meiriv. Because Avram died before this event where Yaakov establishes Meiriv. Just shortly before, right? But Avram died before Yaakov established Meiriv. So now, by the time Yaakov davens Meiriv, Avram has already passed on, right? Which means that Avram never davened Meiriv, according to this answer, right? If you assume like the answer that he only davened Mincha after Yitzchak established it, so you would assume that he never davened Meiriv, right? So, because it hadn't been established yet. So he says, therefore, when Yaakov came and established Meiriv, he didn't want to make an obligation, because that would be a dishonor to his father, his grandfather Avram, who never davened this tefillah. If it's optional, so fine, it's not a dishonor to him that he never davened something that's only an optional tefillah. But if it's an obligatory tefillah, then it would be a lack of kavod to Avram, you know, who never had a chance to daven, never davened this obligatory tefillah.
Avram knew the whole Torah.
So right, so we wouldn't be going with that. Right. We would be, right, so that would not fit, this approach would not fit with that answer to the question of if Avram, how did Avram keep the whole Torah if he didn't daven Ma'ariv, right? That we would have to find a different answer for why he didn't daven Ma'ariv if he kept the whole Torah. But we're assuming right now, like this answer, that he only daven Mincha after Mincha was established, so it will come out that he never daven Ma'ariv. And therefore, Yaakov would not want to establish it as an obligation. He would only want to establish it as optional in order to not dishonor Avraham. But the other opinion, which says that it's an obligation, holds like the other answer, that no, Avraham davened it. Right? The other answer was that when it says that Avraham davened Mincha, it was even before Yitzchak established Mincha. Avram just didn't establish Mincha. He davened Mincha. He just didn't establish Mincha. So in that case, we could say he also davened Ma'ariv. He just didn't establish Ma'ariv. In which case, if Avram also davened Ma'ariv, it wouldn't be a dishonor for Yaakov now to come along and make an obligation. Just as Yitzchak was able to make an obligation, so too Yaakov was able to make an obligation because Avram did daven Ma'ariv. So, says the Chida, that this may depend on which of those two answers you go with. The one who assumes that Ma'ariv is optional, that's because he understands that Avram never davened Ma'ariv, because it wasn't established, and therefore it would have been a dishonor to make it an obligation, and that's why Yaakov made it an option. And the opinion that says, Rabbi Lemuel says that it's a chova, that Ma'ariv is an obligation, understands that Avram certainly davened Ma'ariv, even though he didn't establish it, and therefore there would be no dishonor to Avram to establish Ma'ariv as an obligation.
How do we know whether he davened Ma'ariv or not?
We don't know. But we're suggesting, the Tosfos is suggesting, one opinion is that he would say that he didn't actually, and one opinion would say that he did. We're trying to reconcile, you know, if he davened Mincha, then how could Yitzchak have established Mincha? Oh, because he davened Mincha without it being an obligation. So if that's true, then it makes sense that he would have davened Ma'ariv also without it being an obligation. He's establishing this as something that his descendants should keep. Right. Again, I should have really introduced it with this, but the mitzvah del reis of tefillah, the biblical commandment of tefillah, is, according to the Rambam, once a day. According to Ramban, not even necessarily every day, only when a person is in a difficult situation, an eis tzara. That's the biblical mitzvah of tefillah. It's not necessarily, it's at most once a day. A few places where it says avdo, how you specifically, oso savod, and babatem es Hashem Elokeichem, different places where it says that you should serve Hashem, and specifically, especially when it says avdo b'chol v'avchem, you should serve Him with your heart, that's understood to be tefillah. But it's all one, the same obligation to daven once a day at most. You know, according to Rambam, once a day, according to Ramban, not even once a day necessarily. That's the biblical mitzvah. Here we're talking about rabbinic mitzvahs, or, you know, even if the avos established it, but it's not a Torah commandment. It doesn't say in the Torah that you have to daven shachar, mincha, and Ma'ariv anyway. Just want to end with one thought from the Meshech Chachma. Maybe if we have time, I'll do a second thought. We don't have time, but that we find by Avram, by Yaakov, a couple of times that Hashem appears to him in a dream. We find it right here. We find it later in Parshas. Vayigash, I think it is, where Avram appears to Yaakov in a dream. So he says, we don't find that by Avram and Yitzchak. Meshech Chachma wonders why. He says, the reason is because Yaakov was destined to live outside of Eretz Yisrael. But Yitzchak never left Eretz Yisrael. Avram, he started outside of Eretz Yisrael, he moved to Eretz Yisrael, he left for a bit, but he wasn't going to finish his time outside of Eretz Yisrael, I guess. But Yaakov ended his days in Egypt, in Mitzrayim. And therefore Hashem would reveal himself to him specifically at night to show him that even at night, in the darkness of exile, Night represents exile. The Shechina, the spirit, the presence of Hashem can still dwell within Israel. I'm coming to you at night, even in the dark times of exile, the Shechina still dwells in Israel. As the Gemara says, go to Babel, when we were exiled to Babel, Shechina Yimayim, the Shechina was still with us. He says that's why Yaakov established Meiriv. Because Meiriv is the tefillah of nighttime, right? Meiriv represents nighttime, represents darkness and uncertainty, and he says that Meiriv corresponds, as we said, to the Evarim and Pedarim, the fats and the things that you would still be able to put back on the Mizbeach at nighttime. They're brought both by day and by night. And that's, I guess, the message of the carrying over from daytime to nighttime. Those things that we served Hashem with during the daytime, those karbanos can also carry on to nighttime. That Yaakov continues the service of Hashem even in the nighttime. Now, he says that the Gemara Chazal say that the Shechina only dwells in the Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel, for someone who already saw the Shechina in Israel. That's what the Gemara says. It will only dwell for someone in Israel. The Shechina will only dwell for someone in Israel, for someone who it dwelled outside of Israel, for someone who it dwelled for in Israel.
How do you see the Shechina in Israel?
Good question, but we'll save it for now. So it means the presence of Hashem will dwell for a person outside of Israel if it dwelled for them in Israel. So he says that's why, as I mentioned, that's why we take that which was shechted and brought as a karbon during the daytime, which represents, when we're in Israel, and we bring it even at nighttime, we carry it over to nighttime, that's what can be carried over into the night, which represents exile and represents darkness. Or darkness, which represents exile. During the daytime can be used at nighttime. And he says that there's a big muster in this, there's a big lesson in this. And that is that if we grab on to the tradition of our forefathers, we go in the ways of our fathers, so then, as a nation, we were a continuation of the previous generations if we're following in their ways. And we are a continuation of the generations that had the Shechina dwelling with them in the Beis HaMikdash. If we're a continuation of them, if we're carrying over and the Shechina, it's like the Shechina dwelled for us in Israel, because we're just a continuation of that, so then the Shechina can dwell for us in Galus as well, in exile as well. And therefore, the Panas, he says, to carry on that which our fathers did. And if Chas V'Shalom, if we do the opposite, then if we don't carry it over, then the Shechina can't dwell among us.